Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this new episode of Flats and Shanks podcast. I'm Tom Shanklin, and that is David Flatman.
I do my own intro.
Well, that's what I thought. But last week, when we interviewed Tom Davis, you introduced me.
Did I alpha you?
Yeah.
Oh, God, sorry.
I was like, no, that's my job.
But I didn't have any eye contact with you because I couldn't see round. Big fella. Anyway, hiya.
He was a large guy.
Big guy.
I mean, I hope you enjoyed the Esquire Townhouse podcast with Tom Davis. I'm hoping the sound was all right. I mean, look, we didn't record it. It was a big room. It was a big library. Plenty of books. Real books as well, because when you first look at them, I did think they were fake, and I thought
decorative.
It was going to be a secret passage somewhere.
But Shanks boy, you are too sensitive. One person has emailed about the sound, and it was filmed in a big room with loads of people drinking beers. Sorry, recorded. And it was recorded by someone else with a system in another room. And it was not a room designed for pods, room designed to be lived in. And with all the doors are open, massive high ceilings. Considering that, the sound was amazing. And if you're really, really worried about sound quality, then get out more. What I mean to say is we really apologise and we'll try and do better. But if you're seriously going to start tweeting in about sound quality now, I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm tempted to say go and listen to something else, but please don't listen to us and give us 5-star reviews and write us nice love letters.
I have sensitive skin. But it was a very enjoyable pod. What a funny guy. Do you know what? I got really nervous when I met him just before the show started.
You're not that nervous because you had 5 beers.
I said, what? Ciders. I said, what do I call you? Do I call you Tom or do I call you D.I.?
Steel, you said.
Steel, yeah. And Michelle goes, it's Sleet. I went, I just got starstruck. Because I'd watched nearly every episode of Murder and Successful.
And you called him Steel?
Yeah. He fazed me. I don't often get like that.
I like it when he did the D.I. Sleet voice during the thing.
Very so much enjoyed it. I'm not going to do it.
Anyway, if you listen to it, you heard it. But I would advise you listen to that because it's absolutely nothing to do with rugby. But that is just a big, successful man with funny bones.
I mean, I thought he was coming on the pod because he liked rugby. But it turns out he likes West Ham.
He's an hammer, isn't he? He does like rugby. He watches.
He's built for it, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's a big fella.
Do you know what I did on the way home?
No. How would I know that?
Well, I'm telling you.
Okay.
I got the tube to Paddington, and there was a half-hour wait for my train, so I had a little fitness burger and some potato on the side.
Some sliced potato?
Yeah. And I got a flu jab in Boots.
Pardon?
Yeah, you heard me. Got a flu jab in Boots. The winter's coming. Jon Snow told me that.
But you're a nightwalker. I thought you were immune.
No, I'm not. It appears I'm not. I thought I was.
Did it hurt? What do you mean you got a flu jab? They're giving out free flu jabs.
Don't give out free flu jab. You might get a free one.
Why?
You're just morbidly obese.
But look like a victim.
You pay £12.99, I think. You've got to fill out a little disclaimer form. They take you in a little consultancy room and off pops the top.
That's the only reason you did it.
Cha-ching.
Get your rig out.
In the arm. Done.
Chassis out. Chassis out.
So I will not be missing any podcasts due to illness. I mean, you still can get the flu, but I think you get it less than what
less
you would
aggressively
without it.
Or less regularly.
Aggressively, right. I would assume. Can I ask you a genuine question now? At what age do you think your kids can be before you have to stop parking in parent and child?
40.
Serious.
Okay. Do you use because them when you haven't got your kids with you because you've got blacked out windows and people won't be able to see?
No.
Don't you?
No. I only use them when I've got kids. Use them without kids, do you?
No, God, no. I never would do that.
But what age do you think?
I think it's the age at which you can guarantee they won't open your door and slam it into a car next to you and knock all the paint off.
Okay, so you probably reckon about 8 years old, is it?
No, 15.
Okay, fine.
15 to 30.
That's too old.
15 to 30.
How's your week been?
Yeah, right, yours?
Yeah, good. Well, we obviously met up on Thursday, didn't we? So you got an extra pod. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Friday, had a nice little lunch at the Swalick Stadium. It was the Concrete Society lunch.
That sounds, I'm going to level with you now, that sounds terror.
It's up there with the Sand Society and the Mud Society.
Yeah, or down there with those societies. Yeah. It sounds like a terrible way to spend an evening.
It's just basically, it's an afternoon, and it's okay. For anyone involved in concrete, so builders.
Serial killers.
Mafia. But it was linked to Wooden Spoon. It was linked to Wooden Spoon. And
oh, that's all right then.
It was the 10-year anniversary of, they linked it to the 10-year anniversary of Wales winning the Grand Slam in 2008. So you had myself, Ryan Jones. Shane Williams was meant to be there, but he had an infection after his vasectomy.
Oh, that's what it was. He was in hospital. We said he was poorly.
So he didn't have the balls to be there.
Oh!
I didn't use that, obviously.
No, he'd love to, but in the end he just couldn't come. Sorry about that, everyone. Load the time.
But Lee Byrne filled in for him.
What?
Yeah. Because
he couldn't come? Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the old days. So what, did he actually have a vasectomy? Are you joking?
No, he didn't.
Is that public? Are you telling everyone now? Is it people meant to know that?
Don't know. I didn't know it was a secret, but
he's
in
not
hospital.
Now.
And,
it's not.
He's fully recovered.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah, just a little bit lighter. But it was really good. Sean Holly compared it.
Yeah.
A lot of money raised. Wooden Spoon, great charity, massively linked with
charity.
Rugby.
Charity.
I had about 430 people there. So it was good.
Okay.
A couple of wines.
God, I bet you did. You took right in, didn't you?
Yeah, made Martin Nugget have a couple of vodka lemonades. He liked them.
Did he?
Yeah.
Is that a new one for him?
Yeah, he's a bitter man.
What does he drink?
Or a scotch. Rev James.
That's a joke, bitter. Oh, God, don't worry.
Oh, no.
Crack on.
It's rubbish.
Okay, so that was Friday, was it?
Yeah, where were you Friday?
Oh, who's asking? You are. You're asking. Where was I on Friday? Hang on, we haven't discussed the days leading up to that. Because we didn't discuss what we've been up to in our pod, did we?
Well.
What did you do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Do you know what I mean?
Can't remember, mate. Not much. Well, not much. What did you do?
Well, let's wind it back, shall we?
You must have something exciting, otherwise you wouldn't have mentioned it.
No.
Here we are. Went to see Richard Branson in Virgin's office.
No.
Went out the atmosphere in one of those planes and come back in.
Actually, my two sisters and I took my mum to Lucknam Park, which is like a spa hotel just outside Bath.
Yeah.
For 2 days. Because she is 70 today. By the way, it's Sunday today. Today is her 70th birthday.
Do you buy any treatments like a
cranial
massage, a bikini line, those sort of stuff? Hot stones massage.
I got her a head massage. We got her a head massage. We had nice, lovely food. We had a few bottles of Malbec. We had a lovely walk in the morning. We went in the spa. Tom. Do you know what? Jokes aside, we had a lovely time. We had a lovely time.
Oh, that's good. Did you have any treatments?
No. I also met, there was this bloke in the pool. You know footballers, We're all meant to think they're all tiny little weasels who are horribly behaved and
maggots
and stupid.
You call them.
But we actually know
no,
they're
we
not.
No, we don't. We don't.
We're actually not. I met in the pool base. There was this big unit. He would have been like 6'2", nicked up, like rigged up, but quite big. Like, so I was like, definitely a rugby player. And he came closer.
Vincent Company?
No, he came closer. Right. And he had like a stitches in his eye, black eye, rake marks on his neck. Anyway, he saw me in the changing room. And I was like, you've been playing a bit of rugby there, mate. He goes, I'm a footballer. And he's actually Lukas Djukovic, who is he's a centre forward from Birmingham City. He was there with his wife. Very, very lovely people. Lovely bloke. Big rugby fan. Very bright, really good chap, really...
Did you ask where the stitches were from? Were they from football, from
football.
Clash of Heads?
Football,
or
yeah. Yeah, went up for Edda, didn't he? But he was a really, really good bloke, and we had a nice bit of chat, actually. So, yeah, went there.
Did you swap numbers?
We're DMing each other on Twitter. It's really nice.
So be you.
Bezzies. So, yeah, that was nice.
You'd
and
make
then,
a good spy, you would.
I did like
befriending everyone
a
and
talk at
taking
my
their numbers.
Kid's school on the Tuesday night, a networking event. And I did that primarily because I'm a great guy and love to give back. Secondly, because they're both at prep school, and if they're going to get into the big school, they've actually got to get the nod. It's not automatic, so I do as many favours as I can for the school.
Yep.
What are you taking pictures of?
No, your little hands, that was all.
I'm taking, I do as many favours as I can for the school, and...
You've got the smallest thumbs I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's okay.
So what was next? Oh, yeah.
Did you do a talk for the kids or was it
no,
for
no,
adults?
No, grown-up networking event, adult networking
and
event.
And what was your talk on?
Oh, you know, life, love,
was it more
romance.
Of a motivational talk or was it a spit and sawdust?
No, it was... It is...
Do you have any music playing?
What is networking and why am I here?
Okay.
I came in just simply the best.
Do you have your little book of... forwarded by Duncan Goodhue? Well, I can't remember what it is.
Anyway, no, it was fine, and it was really nice. But on Wednesday, Tom, they're building some people, what we know, are building creating a private members club in Central Bath, which, believe it or not, and you might disagree, is something Bath badly needs, a really cool little club. Not a nightclub, but a members club.
I'm not pretentious, mate. So
and it's, yeah, I am. So that's been really cool. So went to the meeting about that. Did the blimmin' thing, didn't we, on the live pod. Didn't we?
Yeah.
And then on the day after the live pod up in town, I hosted Rugby Speaker of the Year, MBN
That's
events.
That's right, you did. So it was a front row special. So you had Adam Jones there.
Bomb.
Mark Regan.
Ronnie.
And Brian Moore.
Morrow. And special guest for a Q&A, Jamie Heaslip, Esquire.
How was it with Jamie Heaslip?
It was great.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, class.
Smooth.
Yeah, just lovely and fun. Just really nice. He'll be a rock star. Well, he already is in rugby terms, but I mean, in the media, he'll be great. But he was really, really good.
He signed with Channel 4, hasn't he, for the
yeah.
European.
All three of the lads spoke really coverage. Well. Mark yep. Regan toned it right down, didn't say the C word once.
Was he sweating?
Yeah, not too bad.
Had he lost any weight?
Nope. But he won Rugby Speaker of the Year. I mean, okay. Yeah.
Are there any prelims leading up to that, or is it just
no.
the final?
That's no, it's a commercial event. Yeah, it's just three different people each year, pretty much. But, MBN did that, and because I was up on the Thursday night, normally I don't ask for things like, can I have a hotel room or something like that? I just sort myself out, get up there, and whatever. I don't like being in hotels where I don't have to be. And MBN actually sorted me out a hotel room right at the venue, which is really handy, because if you've got to meet at 10:30 to start rehearsing for the event, you haven't got to get out of bed till 10. You can still got time for breakfast. And I got there, and there was only one room left, and they flipping upgraded me.
To what?
To a suite. And it had a button you press, and this blind went up, and you could see through a glass window into the bath. So if you were there with your lady or man friend, you could watch them in the bath. But it was just me, so I was effectively watching myself.
You've got a taste for it now, though, haven't you?
Yeah.
You want to upgrade every single time.
Yeah. But they were very kind in sorting me that out. Lovely event. Got home, and then what day is it today? Sunday. Just come straight here to meet you, Shanko, from Gloucester against Cast. And yesterday I was at Bath Recreation Ground when they played Toulouse. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Very nice.
All right. There you are, mate. There you got it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, my boy.
Okay, boy.
We better talk about...
what?
Champions Cup. Heineken Champions Cup, as it is now known. We'll start with Friday night at the RDS. Leinster
RDS, they call it, don't they?
RDS, yeah. Leinster versus Wasps. 14-3, half-time.
Oh, yeah.
And that was only down to a late try by Leinster, I believe.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't by Wasps, was it?
Oh, no. But... did you see that result come in? I think we all saw that Leinster would be very tough to beat away in their backyard, but not by such a drumming. That's a massive confidence dipper for Wasps. Hugely. Yeah. Especially, you know, they did have a strong team out as well.
Yeah, I mean, let's not muck about. They absolutely took Wasps apart, didn't they? They looked incredible. The brutality of those ball carriers.
It's their footwork before contact, wasn't it? It wasn't, you know, they don't just pick a line and run it and run through the ball, which a lot of people do, and that does work, but it's a stop, it's the little check, it's, you know, what they're trying to do is basically set defenders. So when you're defending, you want to move the defender so they can't make an aggressive hit on you, and when you stop and you do footwork before it, they can't really use... a defender can't really use his momentum to tackle you, so they end up getting their shoulders through past the ball. I mean, look, the first try, like Cronin, the sneaky pick and go is what we call it. Yeah, but it was on a ruck earlier. I mean, Wasps were so worried about getting around to the far side that they were setting guard far side. They were so worried that Leinster were going to keep playing the same way that they weren't setting their guard on the inside. So you look at the ruck before, Cronin could have easily gone. He probably had a little look there and thought, oh my God, it was on then.
Oh my God, it's on again.
Next ruck, it's on again. But he just has the pace just to so finish quick. It as well.
Yeah.
I didn't think the Sopawanga yellow was the correct call. That was on the 40-minute mark. The clock had gone red. That looks like a genuine intercept to me.
Yeah.
That he's genuinely going for the ball. And
agree entirely.
I don't think... there's a difference between him trying to go for that intercept than there is for a slap down. Slap down, when the hand's moving down, slapping the ball down, agree, yellow every single time. But I felt for him it was a poor call, and that made a massive difference because obviously then Leinster go on to score. So,
Yeah, and they just, by the end, you see, you know, Tadhg Furlong running outside arcs, drawing defenders, one-handed offload to the outside channel. You see Johnny Sexton putting it through his legs to Lowe, who was brilliant, by the way. All the way through the game, he was brilliant.
He's never been capped. Can you believe that?
Amazing. What a player.
What a finisher. Great. What
powerful.
Just, but how well he works off his wing. Do you know what was real difficult for Wasps is that when Leinster made breaks, and I was watching them, they had so many support runners that basically the Wasps defenders couldn't get near him to tackle him because their support runners were essentially legally blocking them from making tackles.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the low try, and I think it's Rob Carney's running the support line, but the support line is so good that it stops Elliot Daly making a tackle.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, they were just...
The same with McGrath for his second try.
They were a couple of levels on, weren't they? They weren't a level above Wasps, they were two or three levels above,
like,
whatever that means.
Any Leinster player that was making a break was like what I'd imagine the President of the United States would be like going for a run with the Secret Service.
Like Kim Jong-un with his limo. Just like eight people running next to it.
Exactly like that. You just can't get near it.
Yeah, I mean, they hammered Wasps. They were so good. So good. And
Got to be favourites now.
Austin Healey said he thinks still thinks Saracens are better, but I don't see how you can watch that. And yeah, they look brilliant.
Yeah,
I think it, anything else.
They've just got strength everywhere, yep. Which is the problem. But you know, when you do have Sexton playing at 10, he makes such a huge difference. You know, I know it's one man in the team, but he just, like, I reckon over these last 4 or 5 years, like, he's always been good, but he's just gone up to a whole new level.
Yeah. But you've got outside him, you've got Henshaw and Ringrose, and you've got Lowe. It's like, I mean, it's just ridiculous the players they've got. I mean,
yeah.
But the point is, a bit like Chiefs, a bit like Sarries, they take good players and make them better and better and better and better. Everyone just improves when they go there. So it's not just about signing good players and having them, it's about having created them. You know?
I watched the Scarlets play Racing.
I thought the Scarlets should have won that.
They should have. I really think they should have. I think they had enough possession and enough chances to win it, but I thought they've not really hit the heights they have last season. They've been playing well and they've had a couple of big wins, predominantly Leinster at home. I think that was second or third game in, but it's not quite been clicking for some reason or not. But unfortunately, get a penalty try right at the end after a driving line out, and Gareth Davis gets carded for that. And it's a penalty try, and I think it's the correct decision. He goes in, he drops it. It's bound to be a certain try had he not dropped it. It's
definitely correct.
Letter of the law.
Yeah. Definitely correct.
But look, they lost their first two games last season, I think, and still made the final stages. So,
yeah,
the big thing is your home games, isn't it? That's the main ones. But yeah, it wasn't really that exciting game, 14-13 to Racing.
Bath to lose was a good game.
Not much happened. Yeah, again, Bath started strong. Like last week against Exeter. They came out the blocks, they were flying. But sort of tailed off towards the end a little bit, didn't they?
Yeah, I can't quite work out how they lost that. Obviously, the poor old Freddie Burns minus the howler would have helped.
I mean, we'll get to that, but I mean, they did start well. And Jamie Roberts' try was really good, took a really good angle, and looked really hungry. And he's just been laid off for a while. I mean, prior to that, he'd played pretty well for Bath, especially against Harlequins. But he fractured his jaw, I think it was, or his cheekbone. And he's come back. And I mean, Toulouse looked really good in the loose. And when there was loose kicks and off the cuff, you know, they had a lot of gains just by individual brilliance, really. But Colby looked good on the wing, didn't he?
Those feet. What are you supposed to do with that?
There's nothing you can do.
Knackered.
Nothing you can
do. You're knackered, aren't you?
Yeah. Really good. But
unbelievable feet.
Just before we talk about the Burns, the Jerome Kano yellow for Roberts.
What are you saying? You know what I'm saying, because I said it on telly. What are you saying?
Well, you and Austin agreed that it was a yellow card.
No. No.
You didn't even agree it was a yellow card. You thought it was fine.
You thought it was not even a penalty.
What rugby is trying to move away from, I believe, is having two upright people colliding with big collisions like that. I don't believe, from the angles I've seen, I've not spoken to Jamie. I've spoken to him today. I spoke to him every other day. But I don't believe contact was initially made on the jaw or hit the jaw. I think it was chest. Now, Jamie's hit an angle. He's seen an angle, he's hit it, he's running hard, he's not changed direction, no footwork, he's just running hard. He's leading with a shoulder, he's dipped, and Jerome Kane has just stayed tall. Now, there, statistically, from research, that collision is most likely to cause concussion, and it has. But if you take away, and I don't believe it was hit high, but if you take away that type of tackle, there'll be no aggressive hits in rugby, really. And all the emphasis is on the tackle at the moment. And we talk about this nearly every week, the tackle laws. All the emphasis is on the tackler about safety. There's got to be an element, and there's got to be a bit of responsibility from the attacker as well, from the guy carrying. I don't like to see yellow cards or red cards given for those types of tackles. But unfortunately, this is the way the game is ref now.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But it is a tough one, because I Jerome Kano does not sink his hips. He does not sink low for a tackle. He goes, he wants to tackle high, he wants to smother him, he wants to use his chest. Now, if you want to tackle someone like Jamie when he's hitting that angle, or a big runner like Jamie, like, if you go low, the chances of you getting bounced are very, very high. Because you're going to be off balance. You have to stay tall and stay strong. I do get worried, you know that.
You're such a worrier.
But we're going to lose aggressive hits in rugby.
Yeah, I think, yes, it's difficult. When you are, as you know, Tommy, when you're commentating live on a game, you have to see something and bang, give an opinion. Bang, 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 give an opinion.
You've got a gun, have you?
Yes, I have. Crossbow. So it's like, right, whack the opinion in. This is what I think. And it has to be not instant, because you get replays, but verging on instant. So what I'm not going to do is back off from what I said, because I think Jamie Roberts...
No, you're allowed to back off, because...
Yeah, I know, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do now. I'm not going to change what I think about that tackle.
Yeah.
I do not think that was an illegal tackle. However... think about what we're trying to avoid. You're dead right. Two upright people running into each other. All the onus is on the defender at this stage. Maybe that can change. Maybe that's an interesting idea. If you want to remove this greyness, if you want to remove these conversations from the narrative, then you have to permanently lower the tackle height, and it has to be chest height or below. It can't be shoulder height, right? Then, sounds obvious for safety, rugby's always been, without being too glib, a game for all shapes and sizes. Then you've got Luke Charteris or you've got Courtney Laws. Now, if they get time, a second or 2 seconds, to plan a tackle, they can get low enough. If you're 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", whatever it is, if you've got a split second react to someone changing a line, you are going to find that, I think, that not all people, because some athletes are more coordinated than others, but the biggest guys are actually going to really struggle to get the tackle low enough. Now, it's never been in the laws that you can hit someone high, but I think consistently being below shoulder height, I think, is going to be difficult for a lot of the bigger men when tackling the smaller men. And also, when you run into a big tackle or a tackle as upright as Kano was, and there's a brilliant picture on Twitter someone sent me, when the impact is made, his head is significantly lower than Jamie Roberts' head. It's all pretty much a whole head lower than Jamie Roberts' head. Yes, it rides up, and Roberts falls down after the hit, but he is lower than Roberts when he hits him. However, so I stand by that call. However, if you run in as upright as he did and clash that aggressively, these days you know what is coming. And I looked at Jerome Kano and thought, he's pretty happy that's not a red. Yes. And I think he backed that up with what he said after the game. So if you do that, you're asking for it. A lot of it is about the picture you paint for the referee.
But also, if you're taking an angle like Jamie did, there's no hole there. He's just taking an angle. He's just decided to run that angle. You're going to run into a wall and it's going to hurt. You know, there's got to be an element of a bit of responsibility on him, because he's running into traffic. There's no sidestep. He's not running into arms. He's just seen a man. He's picked him. He's running him. But then if we're asking, and if laws come out to say that tacklers have to tackle lower, then you're sort of losing like a smother tackle. So I could come up against you, I could wrap my arms around you, I'm still high, my heads are still on head, but you're going to lose that type of tackle. You're going to lose a smothering tackle where you end up rocking back with defenders.
I mean, there is still, if you watch Sam Underhill play for a game, you can still nail people perfectly legally in terms of height and smash people backwards. However, he's 6 foot tall. Rugby also has a lot of people who are 6'6 plus, and you're asking them to repeatedly get low. So
I reckon if Jamie Roberts had taken that angle at Sam Underhill and he'd gone low, I reckon Sam Underhill would be probably might have been
knocked out,
HIA.
Yeah. It's, you know, it is a
But anyway,
it's a never-ending conversation, it seems.
So they lose Jamie Roberts, and then later on in that game, Freddie Burns has a penalty right in the middle of the sticks, where he misses and hits the post. That is poor execution of skill.
Well, it's horrible moment number one.
Horrible moment number one.
Redemption comes minutes later with a lovely break, running in front of the Bath faithful.
celebrating.
Look, we know what happened next. So what are you saying about it, Tom?
I'm saying I feel for him because obviously he had no idea Madar was behind him. But
he's doing Panto this Christmas, Freddie.
I am a firm believer of when you are crossing that line, you still got to switch on. And I hate it when players have the ball tucked under their arm. They don't transfer it to two hands to put the ball down. They move that from one arm to the other to put it down. I think what's killed him a little bit is the celebration to the crowd, the feel of the badge, using one hand to put it down. You know, your job's not done until you've put the ball down. Now, I've scored a few tries.
You have,
and
yeah.
I would...
Mainly against Japan, to be fair.
And Romania.
Romania.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't score them like that because I'd be too worried about either losing the ball from, you know, when you've got it in one hand, you put it on the floor, you know, just that movement of it slipping out. You know, I'd be far more conservative about making sure the ball is placed on the ground. Look, it's a horror. It's an absolute horror for him. And I think it was the correct decision to take him off as well.
Do you?
Yeah.
Right, question number one. Yeah. Do you feel sympathy for him?
I feel a little bit of sympathy for him, yes, because it can happen to anyone.
And you think it was... And why do you think it was the correct decision to sub him off? Because Ed was gone.
Completely. I think you cannot come back from that. And I think what has highlighted it so much is the actual magnitude of the game and where it was. It was a try. It was a game-winning try. And he has essentially lost it for his team, and I've got sympathy for that because, you know, stuff like this can happen in rugby, and if it was you, it would never be me because I wouldn't have done that, but it can happen to people. So he's human after all, and I do feel sorry for him, but he hasn't helped himself by celebrating whilst going over the line. No. But correct decision to take him off, because how can you come back from that? It would have massively affected your head. The game was still there to be won as well. You know, there was still time left on the clock, and you've got a player like that on the field, and you can't recover from that in time. So I think it's a correct decision to take him off, unfortunately for him. But also, there's a couple of seconds left when the ball goes into touch, which
the game was called up early.
No one's really mentioned.
Yeah, we called it in commentary, but didn't we? But they haven't. No one mentioned it. No one stopped it. It's really bizarre. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to tell you anything. No one's already heard about. No one hasn't heard about Freddie, but I went. I popped out for a couple of beers on Saturday night, last night, and he was in Bath at the pub. And fair play to him, fronted up, and he's like, right. The bar was packed, and we're sitting in a little corner on our own, you know, because he's getting a bit of privacy. But he says, right. I said, you haven't got to get around him, Freddie, because obviously you're going to get hammered if you go over there. You're going to get accosted, mobbed, you know. And he's like, no, I'll go and get around him. And to be fair, he went and got a tray of beers. And dropped him on the way back, mind. Only joking, Fred. I didn't go out last night. I had a Chinese at home. poor old Fred. Brutal.
Oh, poor
absolutely
bloke.
Brutal.
Yeah. Was that the same night you bought a load of crisps and threw them at you and someone else caught them?
Poor old Fred. But the thing is, I do feel sympathy because I'm nicer than someone like Jeremy Guscott, who I love very much, but by his own admission doesn't really feel empathy. Semi-sociopathic, but not really. He's lovely. But
I think there has to be an urgency to get the ball down when you're over the line.
I agree. Okay? As the great Kenny Logan once said to me, why do people put the ball down 5 minutes after they cross the try line? Put it down millimetres after the try line, get the thing on the floor and scored. Why do people spend all this time? But the celebrating thing, you know, Reece Priestland, who was captain at the weekend, has basically hammered, you know, Freddie, whatever, for celebrating before. He says, it, you know, I cannot believe we're doing this. It's a terrible thing to do. Oh, you know, not Freddie. It's like, yeah, but why else are you talking about it? It's, you know, it is.
Tom Homer dropped one not that long ago as well over the line.
I know. I was thinking that Freddie might not like that his captain said that. But anyway.
Stir it up.
The celebration thing, I didn't score many tries, but I wouldn't have dreamt of doing that because I was so scared that I was going to drop it. But also, it's showmanship. And we like showmanship. We like drama. And the crowd love it. And I like people getting excited about scoring tries. Like, I was never as bothered by the Ash splash as everyone else was. I think, well, if he wants to go and do it, if he one day drops it, then, you know, shave his head, tattoo twat on his forehead.
Like Leguizamon for
Yeah, exactly. So I just think, poor bloke, and I do not agree with having subbed him off, even if his head was gone. What if someone else had made a break, he'd got on the end of it and scored in the last minute?
Yeah, but I think they're more worried about him trying to finish the game off, and you know, the game was still there to be won. And I do think it was the correct decision.
Do you know what I would do, Tom?
You can't come back from that, is what I'm saying.
I don't think I'd be a very good director of rugby, because you've got to be really, really organised and oversee loads of admin stuff, and that's not really my scene.
No, you'd have too many jokes. You'd be the joke meister
general. No, but I'd be dicking around a bit, but I'd also not really into the admin and being at work every day and stuff like that. But I do think I could manage men reasonably well, and the one person who'd be playing next week would be Freddie Burns.
Okay,
I would be starting. Freddie Burns would be my first name on the team sheet next week. Get him back in the saddle. Don't hammer him,
mate. You've got to you made a mistake.
Yeah,
like
Tommy.
If you miss a tackle, yeah, the chances are you're going to be dropped.
Yeah, but if you consistently make your tackles and you miss one absolute horror tackle, like Freddie scores tries, scores points. He's not perfect. He can be a bit erratic sometimes. But when Bartha on the front foot, he delivers really good quality rugby at 10. He's threatening. He's varied. He's got a really good broad skill set. He made one horrible howler. He had a bad day. His confidence is at an all-time low. Where, however you look at
it... I agree with you.
In business terms, you're paying him shed loads of money. Why bin him off and leave him because his confidence is smashed? Why not get the most out of your investment and try and build him back up as quickly as you possibly can?
Yeah, I agree.
That is not by leaving him out. That's what I think.
Yeah.
That's why I should be running Old Foreskinians RFC. That's why.
Is that an actual team?
Must be. Has to be.
So you had Exeter Munster, Classico, 10-10. Real good chance for Exeter to win it right at the death as well.
Yeah, but Shanks, most importantly, I was at the wreck. So I'd literally got in my car. I was going to take my bike, but it was raining. Got in my car, drove up the hill and watched the other game at home in my pants. So I lived 2 minutes away from the wreck.
Crumbs all over you.
Yeah, tracker bars.
I've never seen this before. Conway goes to charge down the Cowan Dickey try. And
the conversion, up, the Steenson conversion, yeah.
And ends up taking Steenson out.
Yeah.
And nothing was made of it.
Yeah. They said,
like, leads with his elbow as well.
I think someone said it was accidental. So, no, he's run out of jump.
He was jumped for the ball to try and charge it down, but you cannot then turn and lead with your elbow.
He was also, according to
lucky, very
commentator
lucky
on the day, offside. He was offside. He started his run too quickly.
Munster did very well there to hang on for a draw, and that's essentially a win for them, I think.
Hell of a game, mind.
Yeah, it was.
I'll keep butting in.
Yeah.
Tell you who was outstanding for
what?
Exeter Chiefs was Harry Williams, tight end prop before he went off. I thought he was excellent in the scrum, in defence, in attack. I thought he was great. Looks really good.
Cardiff Blues travel to Lyon.
Now, what, Tommy, what a performance.
Very, very good.
Anscombe, star player.
I think he is the number 110 in Wales at the moment, I think.
I think you said this last week.
Now, he played 15 today because Jared Evans played at 10. And I think the reason he has to play at 15 is because you need both of those players for the type of the game the Blues want to play. Now, the Blues had a fairly lightweight pack. They had Macaulay Cook, Josh Turnbull in the second row, Ollie Robinson, Ellis Jenkins and Josh Navidi.
Yeah.
So it's a mobile pack, and when you've got a mobile pack like that, you know, there's no point playing tight. You're going to have to play your wits. So you've got the two ball carriers, ball players in, Gareth Anscombe and Jared Evans, and it just worked. And now Anscombe scored just a brilliant individual solo try, bit like Lowe for Leinster. Just ends up taking a kick receipt off Owen Lane, who passed it inside, and then he's sort of searching, he's running across the field, searching for a hole, finds one, and then just makes great decisions. He's got pace as well. There's two players there. He's got two players outside him. Thomas Williams cuts inside, and ends up just holding the ball in two hands. Defenders don't know what to do, goes over, and he scores all the points for the... He scores 20 points for the Blues.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
But also, so was Tomas Williams.
The breakdown, though. On the floor, they were fantastic Blues, I thought.
They were good on the floor, they were, but just defensively at the end as well, and they had to deal with a lot of scrums, they had to deal with a lot of line-out drives, which they just managed to, somehow, they managed to, because they were down a lot in terms of weight of packs. Yeah. You know, the Lyon pack was a big pack, and the Blues pack was fairly lightweight compared to that, but it was just jobs on the line sort of stuff towards the end, and Lyon scored right at the end.
But did Carl Ferns the game was won do all right when he came on?
Yeah, so Carl Ferns did really well when he came on. A couple of big carries, a nice little offload.
Good to see him back. Barr should never let him go. Say it again. We say it a lot.
But Ellis Jenkins was...
Yeah.
Mint. Class. He was mint. Class.
Yeah, I'll get on him. Ulster beat Leicester. Ulster didn't have to play particularly well. It was...
Just quickly, Goujon was good at eight for...
He was tasty, was he?
Really tasty. And obviously Nakatake on the wing.
Also tidy as you like.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leicester didn't really get cooking, did they? They didn't really get out of first gear, which is a shame. You know, I think Leicester were so dominant for so long, I think they've now become a medium to long-term project, actually, for Jordan Murphy and Simon Cohen up there. I think there's a decent amount of work to do up there to get them to the required standard, you know, on a weekly basis. Ulster, again, didn't have to be near their best, really. So it wasn't the best exhibition, that.
What were we saying about Will Addison signing for Ulster?
Good.
Such a skillful player.
Brilliant player. And Mike Haley at Munster.
Yeah.
Both really good players. Well, Addison was rated a bit higher than Haley, I always thought, at Sale, but I don't think there's actually much between them. But I do think Will Addison is potentially a special player.
I think he's probably a little bit more dangerous ball in hand.
Yeah.
I think he just offers probably a tiny bit more of an attacking threat. Mm. He just looks comfortable. And seemed to settle in really well.
He doesn't look like a confidence player, does he? He looks like he's always confident.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't see his head go down much.
It was nice to see Tuilagi back and scoring a try. He finished his try really well. Gets so low, just sort of rides the tackle and just ends up powering through. And you sort of hope he makes it back. Not because I'm a massive sort of Leicester or England supporter, but you can appreciate...
You're a talent supporter.
Yeah, you're a talent supporter. You can appreciate and how difficult it is sometimes to come back from injury when you get other more injuries. And, you know, he's had a bad, bad run of them. You just hope he can stay fit.
Yeah.
Because he is a massive talent, that's for sure.
He certainly is. And I was at Gloucester against Cass today, being Sunday. And, I mean, it wasn't the best game. It was a try disallowed. A little bit of controversy, Tommy. So there was the Jerome Kano in the Bath game, which is... proved divisive amongst supposed experts and fans and that sort of stuff.
I think, just quick, we're going to be divided for a long time, I think, on these subjects and these tackles. I think no one's ever going to be happy with decisions. I think it's so split, sort of 50-50.
Yeah.
You've got no comebacks too. Well,
and rightly, you know, because that's the most important thing. But we shouldn't have comebacks against that, really. But I do think that the only way to end these conversations is to...
Toss a coin?
Yeah. Okay. Is to
paper, scissors, stones?
Lower the tackle height, the legal tackle height. So it's nipple height or chest height, whatever. And even if everyone's kit has to have a line on it, whatever, then if you want to do it properly. You can still tackle at chest height, which is pretty punchy. What was controversial at King's Home was... the Marshall try being disallowed down the left because Fraser Balmain took out Christoph Samson, the second row, who wasn't allegedly part of the ruck. And Brian Moore tweeted on it, and Brian Moore is actually an authority on lots of things, actually. And I must say, I always do and always have enjoyed them.
But you took the piss out of him at the NBN Speaker of the Year Award, so therefore he is going to have a crack at you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I didn't. I introduced him at the Speaker of the Year Award as everyone's favourite psychopath. Fair enough, isn't it?
Was there a joke then or not?
No, it's not a joke.
All right. I thought you'd been serious. I was waiting for the punchline.
Would he have your eye out if you looked at him wrong? I think there's a good chance he would. So I like that. I really like Moore's opinions, and I very often refer to Moro when I want some expertise. But then,
oh no, he's a great bloke, and you're right.
But in this one, I just
he's a voice of reason a lot of the time on social media.
Yeah, and he doesn't care what people think, which I love. And I just don't agree with this time. So Austin and I said that is not a try. That's a shocker. It's not a disallowed try. That's a shocker. It should be a try. And the thing is, when someone... You always get people on Twitter saying, if you say that's not forward, they'll say, we hate you, hope you die, you're the worst commentator in the world, it wasn't, or it was. You know, you get all that stuff. Who cares?
But I can't then, listen to Flatman.
Yeah, you're the worst commentator in the world. That's fine.
So I was just reading them.
But then you get... when you get an actual expert like Morrow who says the commentators are wrong, that interests me. I don't think, oh no, have we made a mistake? Because everyone makes mistakes, including Morrow, including everyone who's ever commentated on a game live. You always make mistakes. That's fine. But I thought, I'm actually going to check this out because I don't think I am wrong. And if I am, I will go onto social media because that's the medium of the day and I will say, I was wrong on that. Have a good night.
Hold my hands up.
Yeah, hold my funny hands up. So, fine. But I went to see this chap from the EPCR who was a sighting guy and a referee coach, and that's a referee assessor, or I can't remember exactly. Anyway, I went to see him in the analysis truck, got a screenshot of it, which I've got on my phone now, and he goes, nah, that is a really poor decision. That try should definitely have been given.
So what you're saying is that when he's taken the man out past the ball, is that why it's...
Balmain has been accused of taking the man out who was not part of the ruck.
But who was it? Who did Balmain take out?
Christoph Samson.
So, but Samson is coming into the ruck, isn't he? So
he's in contact with the tackle player. So he's got both hands tackle player. He basically loses contact, takes his hands out of the ruck, effectively off the tackle player, to brace himself for Balmain taking him off. In terms of his proximity to the tackled player and therefore the ruck, he has 1 foot, which is effectively next to, almost his toes will be underneath the lower back of the tackle player. His right foot is over the top. If Balmain wasn't there, if no one took him out, he would just reach down, pick up the ball, go.
Yeah, so when you're entering a ruck, you're looking for threats, aren't you? Threats to the ball.
Yeah.
He is a genuine threat.
Yep.
And he's taken out.
Yep.
But Samora's saying by letter of the law, that is a penalty, is what he's saying, yeah?
Yeah.
But then you could say the same about a player that gets tackled and there's a split second where there's a delayed offload. He ends up getting tackled. He's on the ground. He offloads the ball. Now, you're not allowed to do that, yet it continues. So what I'm saying is that not always can games be absolutely ref by the letter of the law, because the letter of the law says you have to place the ball immediately. You can't wait like half a second or a second before support comes and you offload the ball off the ground. So I'm with you on that.
Interestingly, I've just as you were talking, I checked my Twitter feed. This
I've
is happening
I've
live,
got your
guys.
Back, buddy.
And Brian Moore said, I have to disagree with Flats, and he wasn't the author of the rubbish comment. There was a comment that said someone's wrong. I have no problem with him disagreeing. He calls it as he sees it, and so do I. And I like that. I've never found disagreement to be aggressive or confrontational. People make it confrontational because people on Twitter say, I don't agree with that call. They come on and say, you are terrible at your job, because you've got that. Okay, you're a terrible commentator. Okay, fine. But actually, you know, you don't. That's not the way to have a conversation. But I've got no problem with being disagreed with or being wrong. Neither's Morrow. So
we were a little bit worried, weren't we, about checking your phone, panicking what might be there. But
what do you mean?
You know, we weren't sure about what reply Morrow was going to come back with.
Oh God, yeah.
We were going to save it for after. But well done, you did it.
We've
done
it.
Yeah. Can you let go of my hand now? but what that shows me is a little bit of mutual respect as well between two pundits. You're allowed a difference of opinion.
Yes, fine. In fact, I kind of like that. I feel like it makes punditry a bit better when you...
Kind of excited by it, aren't you?
Yeah, kind of disagree a little bit.
Pretty decent win for Saracens over in Glasgow.
No, they're not on a... No, they haven't flown anywhere or got a boat.
They probably have.
They have flown. They haven't left the island, is what I'm saying. They haven't left the British island.
They left the country, though.
Yeah, but... Up.
I'm going to say... Decent win for Saracens over in Glasgow.
Fine, say what you want. You sound weird.
You've got issues.
You sound weird.
You've got issues.
Yeah, decent win. I mean, not the tri-fest everyone thought. I guess it's off on the way. But it's Mike Rhodes got over for Sarri's only try of the match. I do like Michael Rhodes, actually. I think he's going to end up playing for England quite soon. Because he's just, do you know what?
Brad Barrett was really physical. So Dzalski was physical.
He's just big and hard, Rhodes. He's just big, hard geezer.
A little bit of a worry, I think, over the Vinopolas.
both went off with injuries.
Yeah.
Mako and Billy. Mako first half, Billy limped off in the second half, not long into it. That is a worry and a for England, because for two reasons. One, Marla's gone at loosehead now for England. If Mako's injured, then Genge's your third choice. Your next up, rather. Second choice now behind Mako. He's currently injured. And if he gets back in time, then he will hardly have played. So you're actually going... Abano's injured, but not that he was necessarily that high in the pecking order anyway. And you've got some really good options. You've got Nathan Catt, you've got Ben Moon, you've got Hepburn, you've got Waller, you've got guys that could do a really good job for England. But you are without the top three, currently the top three loose heads in the country. So that's a bit of an issue, but you can cover that because there are so many good players and there's never been more competition at loosehead ever, I don't think. But without Billy, England have never looked as good.
Toby Faletau's out for Wales as well, and yeah, he is just pivotal,
yeah,
in how Wales play and his work rate and his carrying and how elusive he is in those wide channels. So that's a massive worry. John Davis is back now, which is good, and he looked decent at the weekend, put a lovely little chip in, a little grubber through for McNichol's try.
The Fox.
Just a couple of results, I think, to touch on in the Challenge Cup. I think it's great that Bristol have bounced back 43-22 over
Zebra.
And, you know, they needed that, especially after last week. And also Worcester going out to Stade Francais.
I know, great win that.
Huge. You want to see Worcester do well, don't you? You want to see Bristol, you want to see all the teams do well.
Feels like Worcester have woken up, doesn't it?
Maybe.
Do you know what? I'm glad Bristol won this weekend, but Worcester's last week or two doesn't spell great news in the short term.
Not so good for Northampton, losing 41-20 to Claremont. Ospreys did a job against Poe, and Dragons beat Tiramisu.
They beated them.
How do you even say that?
Timisoara. They beat Tiramisu.
Tiramisu, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good old weekend, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah.
It's been a lovely time.
I've enjoyed.
It? Yeah.
Right, we've missed a couple of the jokes or stories we've had over the last couple of weeks just because the pods have been long. So we'll have a bit of a catch-up now, and here's the first.
Hello, lads. This is John from Newport. Thought I'd give you a bit of a joke. So last night I just had two cans of spaghetti alphabets. Now I've got the largest vowel movement known to man.
Oh, God.
It sounded like he forgot what he was going to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Look, next one.
Hello, my name's Simon Hammerschmidt, and I've got a really short joke for you. Well, it's shorter than 2.5 minutes anyway. So there's this woman, and she has twins, but unfortunately she can't keep them, so she puts them up for adoption. One of them goes to a family in Egypt, and he's called Amal. And the other one goes to a family in Spain, and they name him Juan. Anyway, years later, Juan sends a picture of himself to his mum. And upon receiving the picture, she tearfully tells her husband that she wished she had a picture of her other son. And her husband says, "But darling, they're twins. Once you've seen Juan, you've seen them all."
Oh, he's back.
That's better, Simon.
Simon.
Last
well
time it was 20
done.
Minutes long. That,
well done.
That's much better. I wonder where it was going. Didn't get me to the end. Did you get it to the end? I didn't predict that. That's good. Good stuff.
All right, Shanks, this is one for you, mate. Do you remember back in 2011 when you were on Scrum 5 and you were asked about the Sam Warburton red card and you pulled a yellow card out of your top pocket? No one laughs. I just wanted to let you know, me and my mate Danny Quickdry Cemento thought it was hilarious, but...
What's he on about?
During the World Cup, you know, when Sam Warburton gets red carded. For some reason, I was doing I think it was the last time I was on Scrum 5, actually. I brought a prop with me. So I made myself a little cardboard yellow card.
Yeah.
And I said... do you know what Alan Whelan needed? He needed one of these. Pulled out a yellow card. Just like silent. Just tumbleweed.
No.
I didn't know what to say. I just end up saying, well, that went down well, didn't it? and then they erupted and I was loved again. But I think that is the last time I was on Scrum 5. So what's the moral of that story?
Is there one?
Don't make props and bring them in.
Hello, lads. This is Will Kelly from Surrey. I just want to give you a little joke now. Now, what Irishman do keep outside all year round? I'll tell you. Pity your furniture.
Didn't hear that.
I want to give you a little joke now. What Irishman do keep outside all year round? I'll tell you. Pity your furniture.
No, can't hear that, mate.
I think he's just doing an Irish accent.
Yeah, I can't hear that, mate.
Yeah. Sorry, anyway, Dad. That's Sorry, enough Dad. Of the jokes.
By the way, one result that we haven't mentioned, because while we've been recording the pod, the game has been ongoing. Newcastle Falcons have beaten Toulon at the Stade Mayol 26-25.
That's huge.
Absolutely. I know Toulon are in horrible form, but so what? That is a brilliant victory. Really, really pleased for them. Well blimmin' played.
I can't wait to watch that.
Well done. Look forward to the highlight to that.
Yeah, we'll probably talk about it next week, okay?
Yeah, look forward to that.
All right, love you, bye.
Good luck to you, bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.